produced by Robert Naser, Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier, and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast episode 329, a quick Easter quiz. Welcome to episode 329 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. As I'm currently on holiday with the family, Mark and I will be returning to full episodes next week, hopefully with the singles from 90125. In the meantime, I've been having a bit of fun listening to old episodes of the podcast, and my wife came up with an idea for a quick quiz. So in a moment, I will play six clips from YMP episodes, all from around Easter, of each year from 2012 to 2017, in a random order. Your task is to put them in chronological order. Some are a lot easier than others. And drop me a line to say which is which. Or you could just enjoy listening to how bad I was at presenting in previous years. There's quite a bit of interesting historical detail in there, and I'll announce a winner next week, if anyone is bothered enough to try and do the task. So, here we go.
After the recent 90125 Live, the Solos episode, at AZ Gizmo got in touch on Twitter to point out that I pronounced Tony K's solo incorrectly. It should, of course, be pronounced C, as in the Spanish word for yes. Also, John Anderson's solo Soon was performed by John alone. Tony did not play keyboards on it. John did. And this is a reliable piece of information, as at AZ Gizmo was actually at the concert in question. So many thanks indeed for those corrections. I love hearing from listeners, especially when they help me to improve my accuracy. As I record this episode in April 2012, Yes are out on tour in Australia. Jeff Downes tweeted today that he got to play the largest mechanical organ in the world in the Sydney Opera House. Our friend and Aussie prog rock legend Ben Craven went to the Sydney show, so I'm really looking forward to asking him what he thought of John Davison's performance. From what I've seen on yesfans.com and on YouTube, Mr. Davison seems to be doing rather well.
Since the last show, YesWorld.com has been taken over by the Toto and Yes summer tour of the USA, with most tickets available now. Bob Keeley and Mark Anthony Kay are both upset that they won't be able to catch the band for various different reasons, and I wonder if a European version is planned. I assume not. There are now three teaser clips of the Progeny boxed set on the Yes official YouTube channel, including two from Andrew and I. They really are just snippets, but are nevertheless tantalising and exciting. With less than a month to go before the release, the publicity team have done an amazing job on Progeny. How many fans are now at fever pitch? Quite a few, I'd say. Adding fuel to this is the brilliant expansion of the Progeny page on yesworld.com, which now includes a massive amount of information, including the producer Facebook Q&A transcript, well worth a read if only to spot the folks that we know, like Stephen Sullivan. Mark Anthony Kay continues to add to his live Rick Wakeman collection, and Preston Frazier has turned his attention to the classic Harold Land from the first Yes album. I've been sending Instagram photos of the vinyl Yes records I've been listening to recently, and Jeremy North commented on Twitter that Roundabout was the first Yes song he heard. My recently acquired vintage 7-inch single is now at serious risk of being worn out completely. Jeremy North also left an important comment on the episode I did about the Yes Rarities disc from Bob Burns. I compared the bits from Video Killed the Radio Star, which Jeff Downes added into his Man in a White Car suite, to Rick Wakeman playing extracts from The Six Wives of Henry VIII. Jeremy rightly points out that this is not the same thing. He says, when Rick or Steve played a solo piece, it was from while they were in the band, whereas Video Killed was a pop song from before Downes and Horn joined Yes. It came across as pretty cheesy at the time. It's essential to get that in context. Jeremy is not denigrating the Buggles' number, however, and goes on to say, of course, that song, although pop, is an excellent piece and totally prophetic. It has definitely stood the test of time, ironically, better than some of Yes's weaker material. So thanks for that, Jeremy. How I wish I'd been able to be in there myself to hear all these bits of Yes history we now get to pick over and analyse. As always, links to things mentioned above are now in the show notes for this episode, and thank you to everyone who got in touch recently.
Since I last spoke about the social world of Yes, Ken Fuller spotted an updated poster for the Westbury concert in July 2014, which now notes specifically that the band will be playing a special track from their new album. A new era indeed for the band. Miguel Falcao has done a cover version of Montreux's theme, which you should check out, as usual it's great. The link is in the show notes. And then Paul Wilson tweeted a review of the band in Edmonton, more of which later in this episode, as well as a new interview with Chris Squire, where he speaks about some 9 and 10 minute long tracks on Heaven and Earth. Epics or not? Well, you decide. If, like me, you're on Ben Craven's email list, you probably enjoyed his April Fool's antics as much as I did. He claimed that he had left his own band, and a reality TV show was being created to find 2 replacements for him. Good fun stuff, which certainly brightened my day. Finally, Peter Martin from the band Migrant Worker got in touch. I've included a link to their music in the show notes for this episode. Do check it out, it's great stuff. And they've also given me permission to play a track on this episode of the YMP, so do hang on at the end to hear what they have to offer. So many thanks to everyone who's been in touch lately. All those links are in the show notes, as usual.
Well, what a week it's been in Yes World. I'm recording this on the day of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, so if you're listening before you find out what went on at the ceremony, and you don't like spoilers, then maybe you should come back to this episode at a later date. If you're still listening, on with the details I've been able to find out via Facebook and Twitter and various other ways. Lots of people were upset when Billy Sherwood posted that he had been asked by ARW not to play bass for the event. We'll be coming back to that later. So the rumours were flying around about who would be filling that role. The mystery was solved by photos from the rehearsals, which appeared on Facebook. Geddy Lee was pictured rehearsing Roundabout after all the denial of his participation, and, wait for it, Steve Howe was seen to be playing bass guitar for Owner of a Lonely Heart. Now, who would have predicted that? Now, this all came about after Mark and I had recorded our 2 pence, so please listen to that segment with this in mind. It's an amazing turn of events, and a somewhat creative solution. I have to admit to a sense of awe, which stopped me on my tracks when I saw Anderson, Wakeman and Howe together in one photograph, Alan White being out of shot. Perhaps just as affecting were some of the photographs of other Yes Men from the event. Billy Sherwood and John Davison were pictured with Geddy Lee, and in the most remarkable shot I think I've seen in a long while, John Davison was photographed with John Anderson, proving that there is still a Yes flame of positivity burning. I was delighted to see this and the lineup arrangements despite my deep disappointment and frustration that John Davison, Jeff Downes and Billy Sherwood, who are all at the event, won't be getting to perform. This is in the context of ELO having about 15 musicians on stage, including friend of the podcast Lee Pomeroy, and only one of them is being inducted, Jeff Lynne. The other 3 inductees from the band won't be playing, I understand. So the ceremony looks likely to be even more amazing than I'd ever imagined, and I can't wait to see the footage. We have at least 2 correspondents at the event, so let's see what their experiences were like. Also connected with the induction, Rolling Stone put out an animated history of Yes, which is interesting, and the band, who are officially allowed to call themselves Yes, appeared on Sirius XM Radio, streamed to Facebook Live. Steve played a guitar, Billy and John sang, and Alan tapped a tambourine, leaving Jeff to look on. They also answered a lot of questions. The official Yes display in the Rock Hall is small, but includes some very interesting items, including a flyer from our own Dave Watkinson's 2004 Yes exhibition in Accrington, UK. Dave was asked to contribute some items to the Rock Hall display, but he would have had to donate them permanently, which seems a bit odd. However, Dave tells me that his event itself had hundreds of visitors and was the venue's most successful exhibition ever. There was a piano player covering Yes music and in the rooms Yes videos playing while people walked around looking at the exhibition. Family friends and old musician mates of John turned up, and Dave did guided tours and a Q&A. People travelled far to attend, and the local mayor opened the exhibition with publicity, showing Dave with members of John's first band, The Warriors. Dave's Perpetual Change book was for sale there, and the hundreds of framed and cased items on show covered from 1964 to 2004. Dave is very proud of the success of it all, and it was a great deal of work to put together. I've put some photos of the event in the show notes for this episode, which Dave sent me, and I really hope he's able to do something similar for the 50th anniversary next year. Do have a look at those photos, and many thanks to Dave for sending them. Yes World announced the Yestival Summer Tour of the US, on which Yes will be teaming up with Todd Rundgren and Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy Group. We'll be discussing the fact that Yes will be playing one song from every album in chronological order, up to Drama, later on. Sounds a brilliant idea, though. Also on the Facebook group, Steve had his turn in the Yes World Q&A, and says that we shouldn't hold our breath waiting for a classic Yes lineup reunion. Will his opinion change after the induction experience? Who knows? Preston's reached Does It Really Happen in his review series, and Mark announced the vinyl version of his album. There's a wonderful clip of Tom Brislin on a grand piano, playing and singing a song from his latest album, and Mark got his hands on some Wakeman goodies. In the visitor post, Jeffrey Mason posted interviews with Rabin and Rabin and Anderson, as well as a piece about the CBS News executive Steve Kappas, is that how you pronounce his name? Who was instrumental in the movement to get Yes inducted into the Rock Hall. Ken Fuller is tired of all the Yes politics, and I can't disagree with that, and Jeffrey Chryselius is excited about the Yesterfold setlist idea, while Cliff Brand shared his original dislike for On the Silent Wings of Freedom. That changed over time. Over on Twitter, there are photos from the SiriusXM event by Glenn Gottlieb, and lots of tweets from Jeff Downes about various topics. At Not Right Away spotted Yes and Queen in the top 10, and David Gordon tweeted a video of Rick Wakeman from 2003 live at Montreux. It was also great to hear from Joost Magliff about this week's topic, but he also sent in the following. He says, "Lastly, I want to quickly mention that I went to ARW's show in Utrecht last week. To me, it was mind-blowing to finally see Trevor live, and I was happy all gig long, but in the end, I was quite surprised that it ended so quick. What surprised me is that the bassist and drummer both had solo spots, but neither Trevor, Rick, nor John did any kind of solo piece, which I was a bit saddened by, and I was really looking forward to a Solly's Beard-type solo. To me, it looked like Trevor wasn't as comfortable playing on stage anymore as he was in the 80s, sometimes playing with his back to the crowd and not being the overall showman he was in those days. A pity, as I still think he's a truly great musician who deserves a ton of credit. Thank you, Joost, for that." Finally, Brian Sullivan posted a 1977 interview with John Anderson, which is well worth a listen. Phew. As always, thank you very much to everyone who got involved in any way this week. Remember to visit the Facebook page and YMP site for all the items I've mentioned here. This week, the news broke that Yes will be playing sides 1 and 4 of Tales from Topographic Oceans on tour in the US later in 2016. Predictably, this has prompted a lot of reaction and discussion. For me, this is great news and shows that Steve Howe was serious when I spoke to him about the future. It's great to see how the band are happy to try new things out. Personally, I'd have loved to see them play the whole album, but I know that's not necessarily going to be very commercial and might actually put some fans off attending the concert. We'll have to make do with sides 1 and 4, at least for now. Other big news this week was the release of Ben Craven's much-anticipated follow-up to Great and Terrible Potions, Last Chance to Hear. Head over to bencraven.com for all the details and bag yourself a copy of the album, which is breathtaking. You need a copy of the beautifully presented album with Freya Dean's entrancing artwork. This is also the last chance to pre-order the Yes dialogue book and get your name printed in it. That'll be nice. On Twitter, Uncle Preston Fraser told us that he has his copy of Last Chance to Hear and has reached close to the edge in his monumental Yes review series. Paul at Earthbound released another great proggy video, and I very much enjoyed chatting about the recent Tales news. Over on Facebook, you may have seen the prolific Billy Sherwood's latest offering, which is him and Tony Kaye live in Japan. There's also a fascinating Q&A with Mr. Sherwood on yesworld.com, which is worth a read, and as usual, Billy shares a lot about his preparations for the Yes UK and Europe tour, which is always brilliant to feel part of. Mark Anthony Kaye shared a Japanese copy of 90125, which has a wonderful additional sleeve, and there's a major Steve Howe interview by Sid Smith in the latest edition of Prog magazine. Thanks to Joseph Cottrell, Tim Baldwin, Kevin Brody, Scott, Paul Tomei, John Starlock, Mark Anthony Kaye, and Gary for their comments on the show notes, and that's where you can find links to the items mentioned above this week. Finally, my super talented son William has directed and photographed his first ever music video, which is to be released by a brand new band this week. I'll let you have all the details next week, but I've seen it and it's amazing. So get in touch with him for all your still or moving image requirements. WilliamMulryan.com or MetalBandPhotographer.com.
This week, one of the rumours to come out of the Cruise to the Edge was that Yes will be touring the UK and possibly Europe in the spring of 2014. If this is true, I'll be there, and it would be fantastic to have a YMP meetup. Stay tuned for updates. What is certain is that the current tour has been greatly extended to include many more dates throughout 2013. You can check out the North and South American dates on the newly revamped yesworld.com website, which was spotted first by Scott Harmon. It looks great and includes a great new biography and alumni section, which I was delighted to see includes YMP interviewee Tom Brislin. It features a huge number of streaming Yes music and lots of different players from different sources, which is fantastic, but does make the pages load quite slowly, or not at all if you're using a smartphone as old as mine. However, do visit if you haven't already. It's a proper website now and reflects the importance of the band. There are extensive sections on each of the three albums currently being played live, and the band have started a weekly question and answer project, This week, John Davison answers 20 questions sent in by fans. Each page has opportunities for fans to add comments and get involved, so why not add your voice to the rapidly growing conversation over at yesworld.com? Maybe you'll fare better than me. My comments didn't make it past the moderation process and onto the page. Or at least not yet.
So, how did you get on? That's just about all the time I've got this week, and hopefully, as I say, we'll be back next week with those singles from 90125. But in the meantime, do get involved yourself with the podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, or on Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.